You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
People and pets are living longer than ever. With aging comes many challenges, physical as well as mental. Current research is investigating the adage that you can't teach an old dog, or for that matter, an old person, new tricks. But is it that they can't learn, or is it that they can't remember? Geriatric dogs and their naturally occurring behavioral and physical changes offer behaviorists and research scientists a marvelous model for studying and treating devastating diseases such as Alzheimer's. Today's guest, Dr. Gary Landsberg, is a board-certified veterinary behaviorist and director of veterinary affairs and product development for CanCog Technologies. We'll be right back after this message. So remember, sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Landsberg, thank you very much for being with us today. This is a topic that clients are constantly coming and asking me about because they see this aging process with their dogs and other animals too. So it seems to be a very active area of research. How did you get involved in it?
Well, for a wide variety of reasons. One was the need for more work in this field, the need for development of ways to help our clients' animals. I was in general practice for years as well as my behavioral practice, and it was sort of that overlap of how do we help not necessarily the behavior case, but the general practice client, the one that comes in with an older pet with all of these signs that clearly look like dementia or aging. Put that together with the fact that a group in the Toronto area was working with groups in the United States using dogs as models of human brain aging, and I was asked to do some consulting with them. A new product came out at the time that they had assessed, not for humans, for dogs, which was selegiline. It was called aldeprenil at the time. And they had worked with the company to develop that, and it sort of fell into my lap being here in Toronto with some of the research being done in conjunction with the University of Toronto at the time. Now it's a separate company, which is CanCog, and with my interest in behavior and general practice, just something that I wanted to say, hey, all this work is being done with dogs as models for human brain aging because they make such good models. What about dogs and now cats as models for dogs and cats? Can't we develop products for dogs and cats? And companies came to CanCog and others looking for ways to see if products and could work and what was happening in the brain of older animals.
That's one of the things I love so much about veterinary medicine is that there truly is this translational medicine. What you're learning in one species helps another and vice versa. You know, people hear research and they go, oh my goodness, you know, those poor little cats and dogs or monkeys or whatever, you know, they're just being disposable research animals. You know, no, they're both being helped. Dr. Landsberg, tell us a little bit about, you know, what are some of the signs? Because people will come in many times going, oh, yeah, doc, you know, the dog is just getting old. The cat is just getting forgetful, or it's being naughty or vindictive. You know, it's pooping in the corner because I'm working too many hours. What are some of the signs that you will see with this cognitive dysfunction? You know, they're getting their ancient little minds.
Yeah, we're talking about at the clinical level now, the cases that we see as practitioners and that our pet owners bring to us are the cases where the pet is starting to become somewhat disoriented, not responding to stimuli the way they should. It might at times seem that they're becoming deaf or not seeing as well, when in fact those organs might be working fine, the hearing, the vision, but the animals aren't able to process in the way they would. So their social relationships change, the way they respond to stimuli change. They may lose learned behaviors such as house training or begin to house soil. And one of the big ones does seem to be a slightly disoriented dog who wakes at night and loses his day-night schedule. And as a practitioner, as well as a behaviorist, these can be physical problems, other medical problems, or they can be cognitive dysfunction, and in some cases both. And separating that out is pretty difficult sometimes.
It comes to mind as a client of mine loves her cat. I mean, it is her life. And this cat is just ruining her life because you just mentioned their sleep cycles are totally off. This kitty is up all night, pacing, yowling, you know, it's something painful. Many times it's so hard to tell, is this a physical problem or is this a mental problem? And oftentimes it seems to be a rule out. It's not this, it must be some form of dementia. I know people can get a sundowner type of a syndrome. Do pets get that?
Yes, the waking at night, the sleeping restlessly, the sleeping more during the day, sleep-wake cycles changed, are all one of the facets, one of the components of what we consider to be cognitive dysfunction syndrome, and it happens both in dogs and cats. There is a little acronym that people use called DISH or DISHA, which has to do with disorientation, changes in interactions or social interactions, sleep-wake cycle changes, house soiling and other learning and memory changes, and activity changes, which could actually be more restless and pacing and wandering, or it actually could be more sleeping and lying around and less interactive. Again, those aren't necessarily different parts of the brain. Those are just easy ways to perhaps remember the categories. And perhaps the biggest ones, which are the hardest to tell and maybe the earliest before even those signs start to happen, are decline in learning and memory function, which is again why dogs and cats, to a lesser extent, have been good models for both dogs and cats and humans, in that they start to lose some of their learning and memory even before these obvious clinical signs develop.
60 Minutes, I'm not sure if you had seen the television show, it was several weeks ago, it was doing a fascinating study. At the time, I was with my 93-year-old mother, so it was like, oh, I think I'm going to have to sit and watch this entire segment. But they were talking about a follow-up study of senior citizens, and it happened to be a senior citizen community that literally is right around my practice, Laguna Woods Leisure World in Laguna Woods, California. And it was 20 years ago, they had a group of these citizens of Leisure World had done a myriad of medical testing. And now many of these older than 90-year-old people were still alive, living, and they were looking at their physical abilities and their mental abilities. And it was fascinating to see how so many of them are still absolutely sharp. But one of the things that I had always learned about is these amyloid plaques that form in a mature person's brain. Ah, you see that? You're going to have Alzheimer's. But they weren't seeing that all the time. What are some of the changes that are going on in a pet or a human's brain?
Well, not being an expert on humans, but knowing the dog as a model for humans, is that in these dogs that start to have learning and memory decline, and that's where Hancock and U of T and some of the work was done, where, you know, simply, and these are totally non-invasive, these are just tests that involve giving the pet food under one of two objects, and then after they learn that, finding that it's been reversed and they have to figure that out, remembering where food has been hidden, finding the right object out of two or three, you start to see these declines. Then you start to see on the brain, on MRI, loss of neurons, loss of, well, larger ventricles, or the spaces in the brain get bigger as the spaces get smaller. And not just loss of neurons, also some PET scanning and other work that's been done to show decline in neuronal function, so they're not functioning as well. And then you end up with the beta amyloid in higher density in more and more damage. But whether that's an actual cause of the brain aging or just a sign of deposits that are going in there and being a marker of brain aging is hard to say. If we ever knew, or if people can learn the cause of why we lose cells, why these toxins build up, the oxidative stress, the circulatory problems, it really is a combination of a wide range of different changes in there that science is still working on. And going back to what we were talking about, that if dogs get the same social changes, behavioral signs, learning and memory decline, neuron loss, beta amyloid that occurs in people, then not only is that a good model for them, but as I said, since then, we've been using these learning and memory tests to see if products would work to improve cognitive dysfunction in pets. And there are some hopeful products out there and things on the horizon, but we still have a disease that we can sometimes slow and improve, but not necessarily turn around.
You're talking about, you know, it coming on gradually and watching my mother age, watching myself age, you know, two-story condominium, and all of a sudden I'm at one level going, dang, I was supposed to get whatever when I was downstairs and go down there and get distracted and do, you know, another task. It seems as though this aging process, how do you know when does it start? Is it a particular age? We'll typically say, 7 years of age for pets is when we consider them to go into our senior years. But it seems as though people age so differently. How about pets? Is there a particular age or breed prevalence or sex? Are males or females more prone to it?
There is no specific breed prevalence or sex prevalence that we can see. There have been some studies looking at that, but the numbers are relatively small. And in fact, when you're looking at a disease process that in giant breeds of dogs, they only live sometimes to 6, 8, 9 years of age, and small breeds of dogs live much, much longer, assuming the rest of their medical health, we actually see it more in the small and medium-sized breeds only because they live longer. In other words, it's probably a function of age, it is a function of age and likely not breed, probably not sex related, although there may be some hormonal implications. As far as time of onset, well, I guess we're always talking about two different things, normal aging and accelerated aging or disease related aging or cognitive decline versus cognitive dysfunction. And while a true Alzheimer's type disease has not been diagnosed in pets, in fact, dogs are called models of early Alzheimer's. They model early Alzheimer's disease in people. There are some learning and memory deficits that can be picked up on in 6 to 8 year old dogs in these sort of set-up tests, in these laboratory, if you want to use that expression, tests, where dogs do these learning and memory tasks. So they may begin to fall off at 6 to 8 years of age. When they become demented, well, we all know dogs who are, at least practitioners, because we see lots of them, that are 14 and 15 and doing just fine physically, mentally, and others that by 8, 9, 10 are already showing the night waking or a little bit of disorientation. So I do think there's a function of both normal aging, which you're not going to be the same at the 65 in a person as you were at 25.
I hope that I'm going to be that good.
Well, I can accept the fall off. I just hope it's not a major fall off, that's all. But again, there's the part that's mild and age-related and the part that's just unable to cope or signs are too severe to cope normally with life, and that becomes a problem for the owners and for the pet. So again, you might start to see this decline or fall off at 6 to 8 years of age, but it can be this mild impairment, which may be age-related, or it can be these more serious impairments, cognitive dysfunction.
Dr. Landsberg, we've been talking more about dogs, but you had alluded to cats. Cats, what other breeds, what other species can have cognitive dysfunction and cognitive decline? Or can they all?
Well, the work that I know is done in dogs and cats, and then, of course, there's the human work, and then there's true lab research, which actually I'm not even familiar with. When I say true lab research, I'm talking about the mice and primate research and other species where it's been done. But that's more quote-unquote experimental and nothing that I would be familiar with because that's not my field. These are naturally occurring models that we're talking about and therefore only aware in dogs and cats because those are the species that with good health care, good nutrition, good owner care, we are now having pets live to 14, 15, 16, 18, 20 in cats sometimes, if all goes well, and therefore seeing more and more of these diseases. So again, I think part of it has to do with the housing of dogs and cats in particular as pets, the improvements in medical care and nutrition over the years, and the fact that owners are caring for them longer and better and financially, and the longer life is leading to the more and more disease in these senior pets. You sometimes wonder, other than dogs and cats, if you had dementia in another species that you were housing, whether you would be able or willing to tolerate that. And even with dementia in dogs and cats, sometimes you have to decide what's in their best interest or health diseases when they get too old. So again, we're talking primarily dogs and cats, some of the laboratory research, some of the research on learning and memory tasks, and the looking at brains on MRI or various scanning was done primarily in dogs and cats.
Dr. Landsberg, you have some fascinating information, and I know that it's something that is very near and dear to my heart because having my senior clients, you're right, taking such fabulous care of their pets that their pets are living longer and sometimes having to make those serious decisions as to when to let them pass. I know they always want to know, what can we do to slow this down? And I'm looking at the research going, what can I do then to incorporate that into my own life? So we're talking to Dr. Landsberg right now, Dr. Gary Landsberg. He's with CanCog. He's a board-certified veterinary behaviorist. We're going to be right back after this short break talking about research, about treatment, and ways that our pets are helping people age successfully. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
There's nothing more delicious and healthy than an old family recipe. And for over 50 years, our family's been creating them especially for your pets. Nutrisource Super Premium Pet Foods. Dog and cat food that's all natural, holistic, and organic. Nutrisource Pet Foods contain our patented Good for Life system for your pet's optimum health and well-being. So, order now. Safe quality food made by our family for your furry family members. Go to NutriSourcePetFoods.com.
From our family to yours, KLN Family Brands.
Hi, this is T.O.D. Anderson, and I'm the host of Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. We're going to talk about a variety of topics on canine behavior and training, all based on modern methods that are fun for you and your dog. We might be talking about other critters, too. So join us on Get Positive Results. We'll talk about common issues between you and your dog, answer your questions, discuss different activities you can do with your dog, and keep you posted on current canine news and products. All this on Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Landsberg, one of the things I found very interesting in this senior study that was done, it was talked about at least on 60 Minutes, the television show, was that these seniors that were living very successfully, they had many things in common. One was having exercise. Most of them drank a small amount of alcohol routinely and a little bit of caffeine. What are some of the secrets that we're learning for these older pets as to something they have in commonality that they go, oh, yes, when we see this, yes, they seem to do better?
The progress of the various products, drugs, compounds that have been out for cognitive dysfunction in dogs and more recently some in cats seem to help us, this research, point along the same direction. For instance, one of the first products after the selegiline product, after the MAO inhibitor product that improved some of the neurotransmission in the brains, was a diet that Phillips had developed called BD. And BD diet is full of antioxidants and mitochondrial cofactors and fatty acids. And those sorts of ingredients, like the blends and cocktails that have been developed or suggested, Mediterranean diets, fish oils, fatty acids, the fruits and vegetables and people, seem to parallel each other. And in their original trials, they found that learning and memory tasks were improved, and in fact, beta amyloid seemed to decrease in accumulation in dogs that A, were fed this enriched diet, and B, part of their research was also to compare that to environmental enrichment. Wouldn't say physical exercise, but more toys, more activity, walks, more enrichment just by doing these cognitive tasks. I mean, you should see some of these pets do it, some of these dogs doing these tasks. They get two objects. They have to figure out what food is under. They do it multiple times a day. They reverse it. They have to do it multiple times a day. That's brain enrichment. So to make a long story short, you're looking at physical enrichment or forms of enrichment and good nutrition being some of the hallmarks in trying to slow brain aging and improve some of the signs. And in fact, the BD did that. Some of the products since then are antioxidant products, one called Senolife that SIVA had distributes. There are a number of products that have been developed that all seem to go along that same line. Let's make the brain cells healthier or keep them living longer if we can.
I know, I have to admit that I have been, and I'm beginning to learn and realize I have to adjust my thinking, that if a little bit of vitamin E was good, oh, take three or four times, who knows, you know, what really is the appropriate dose. But sometimes people can get into problems that way, and we can put our pets into harm's way by not necessarily giving too much of a particular antioxidant. We talk about vitamin E, some of these other supplements that are out there, or sometimes combinations. Could you address that, Dr. Landsberg?
Well, that's where there might be some controversy here in the next sentence I'm going to say, but that's where I leave it up to the food companies and the research. Let's find products that work clinically, not products that theoretically might work. I've never been a huge fan of homemade diets simply because I think that the high-end nutritional companies are developing foods that have the right optimum amounts of calcium, phosphorus, fish oils. You're exactly right. Too much of something as well as too little, and the right mix or blend of things can be particularly critical. And I remember studies that I've seen, I don't know, 60 Minutes or shows, where some of the natural products, whether it was the sprouts or parsley or whatever, all the fruits and vegetables we're supposed to be taking, there are comments sometimes that you just can't get enough of a good thing. And sometimes the supplements are helpful because they give you more than you could actually take in your diet. Well, you can't eat 10 times of this fruit or that fruit or this vegetable or that vegetable, and getting somebody to blend it nicely, number one, give you the right mixture of it, number two, not too much, too little, and then testing it to see that it's clinically effective in, let's say, a cognitive model or even longevity models is the best way to go. So I think leave it up to the experts is the answer. Don't necessarily make your own. Go with products that are tried, true, and tested. And I think even in people, it's the moderation is often what they talk about, whether you're talking about red wine or the ingredients in wine, whether you're talking about Mediterranean diets or fish oils and diets. It seems to be some mixture, not one particular fountain of youth type of ingredient, as well as the exercise and keeping the brain occupied. And then I guess good genetics as well probably plays a role in there too.
You've mentioned a couple of times the diet BD, which is made by the Hill's Company. When that diet first came out, I was quite skeptical, and then seeing the research that's gone behind it, and that's, I think, an area that you've already touched on a bit. People hear research and nutrition, they think of the diets and the testing that was done probably 30, 40 years ago, where they were terminal studies. You know, animal was fed this and then killed, and you looked at all the organs. They're not doing that. And again, please kind of touch on what's in a BD diet, or are there other diets that are similar to that right now that are available?
Well, you're right that they're not doing that, because they're actually trying to see clinical effect. They're trying to see longevity, and these animals are living as long as possible. We did one study, for example, on some work in cats, and we were lucky enough, and this was a clinical trial that I did with my resident at the time, we were lucky enough from a scientific perspective that those animals could be cognitively assessed all through their later life, and then the owners were willing to allow those animals to have their, I guess, simply put, brains looked at following their age and death to see what was going on in those brains after their death. So this work is done in naturally occurring animals. They're done to improve their learning and memory. They're done to see if we can take a control group that has, let's say, a placebo-type product or a placebo-type diet or a normal diet that they would be fed versus the therapeutic product. So starting off with BD was one that was tested, and its mix of antioxidants, a couple of supplements that have been tested, some clinically and some in laboratory first to see if they improve learning and memory tasks in dogs or cats. One I mentioned is called Senolife, which is an antioxidant mixture. Another one out of Europe is called Activate, which again is an antioxidant mixture with phosphatidylserine. We've done some work with a product called SAMI. I think the clinical product that's out there is a NovaFit product by Virbac, but there are other SAMI products out there, and it improves some learning and memory in both dogs and senior cats. There's a product that there's a human version of too, I believe, which is a jellyfish protein called ApoE corin. The dog product is Nutrix, and we had found an improvement in attention tasks. That's where dogs can pick out one object out of two or three in their tasks, and that was improved. Purina had worked on some foods for brain aging, and they used some oils that convert to ketones in the brain. And you may have heard years ago, and probably still some research on ketotic diets for epilepsy and other type brain problems. Well, in these dog diet that produced more ketones in the brain happened because of these coconut oils, palm oils in the diet. And ketones provide an alternative source of energy when you can't utilize glucose well in the older dog. So there's a short list of some of the things that are out there for dogs, and the Senolife, the SAMI, also for cats, that have been looked at either in the laboratory situation or the clinical situation or both, and are on the market right now, and plenty more. If you're buying anything for your pet, from diets to supplements, just find out if there's been some research done on it. Anecdote, I like the phrase, the plural of anecdote is not data. Probably heard that one.
Testimonials. Yeah. You can see wonderful testimonials, but yes, having that science behind it. Listening to all these products that you're talking about, number one, it's like, I want to take them. Number two, if you took all of these or tried to give all of these to your pet, there's not going to be any room for food in their stomach because there's so many different medications or supplements that you're giving them. How do you figure out what to give your pet?
That's where going to your veterinary practitioner and maybe seeing how much knowledge the veterinary practitioner has of senior products and senior care, although they certainly can consult with specialists if they need more help, can really make a difference. Because first of all, you and I both know that many, many of the signs we see in senior pets that are behavioral have a physical cause. Circulatory problems, arthritis type problems, pain problems, visual problems. And some of these can be treated. Some pets that howl in the night might have hypertension issues. And again, you need to see your veterinarian and find out if there's something medically that can make your pet healthier, stronger, and have a better quality of life. If cognitive supplements are also needed, your veterinarian can guide you into that, starting off with maybe a diet and knowing which ones of these are compatible with each other. If you have a product that improves cell membrane transmission, another that improves source of energy to the brain, another one that works with antioxidants, it can get expensive, but these things can be compatible with each other, although there are some drugs that don't work out with others. So see your veterinarian, maybe start one of these supplements, natural supplements, early on at the earliest signs. And then the biggest thing that we want to do after we do our workups and you get your medications from your veterinarian is what often we'll call response to therapy, report back in. If something doesn't work or mildly works, let's see if we can add a second or third thing on, not throw six things at it all at one time. So it's a matter of working with your veterinarian, and we can generally help these pets live longer lives, healthier lives, happier lives, but, you know, there can be some cost and return visits necessary to get there.
Dr. Landsberg, I think something else that veterinarians, talking to you, you have this expertise that I don't have, things that I never was taught when I was in veterinary school, probably not even being taught right now. And what's so fabulous is that we have a network, veterinarians have a network, that if I have a case that I just can't get a handle on, this is a behavioral issue, for instance, a veterinarian can contact a board-certified veterinary behaviorist or a nutritionist or a surgeon or oncologist. We have so many options, and I think sometimes a veterinarian might feel a little bit embarrassed. Oh, I don't know it all. I think once you've been a veterinarian long enough, you can say, hey, I don't know it all, but I do know somebody who does. Or if you're that pet owner going in, going, you know, doc, I love you and you do a great job, but is there somebody else that you can consult with? I think everybody has to keep these open lines of communication.
You're exactly right. And, you know, most veterinarians spend a fair amount of continuing education on an ongoing basis. These lectures that we see at the major conferences that both you and I attend regularly, sometimes I give them, sometimes I attend them, on a variety of different fields and areas so that practitioners can stay involved. Probably every book and journal that comes out devotes to different areas, specialties, and we can certainly, as veterinarians, research those. Over the past few years, I've done a chapter on cognitive dysfunction in the vet clinics of North America. There's a chapter in my textbook on it. I'm sure the other veterinary behaviorists and neurologists who write books have those in them. So there's constant continuing education, and the fields change all the time. So if there's one thing we can say about choosing a veterinarian, it's find somebody who keeps going to conferences, and don't be upset when they're away at conferences or continuing education, because they're coming back with new and great information for you.
Excellent. You had alluded to a company that you're working with, CanCog. Tell us a little bit about that before we close for the day.
Well, very simply put, years and years ago, they were using dogs, as I said, as models for human brain aging. Three or four institutions across North America, some work that was being done out of University of Toronto, and the principle, dogs for human brain aging, and the principals of that company said, you know what, dogs should be models for dogs, and cats should be models for cats, and why don't we have a company that can look at research, non-invasive, learning, memory tasks, older dogs who are getting arthritis, to be able to study these. So it started first in being able to study and develop good testing for products for brain aging. As a behaviorist, we have some models, dog, cats who maybe are a little bit more afraid of people. So we have some anxiety models where we've tested some products to see if they can improve fear and anxiety in very controlled models. Certainly older dogs get dental disease and arthritis. So we can test the various products against placebo, against control, to find out if they're having improvements. So it is a way to take naturally occurring models and find out if they can be improved rather than compared to a placebo or compared to control. Very objective measures without using quote-unquote anecdote, as we said before, testimonials. Testimonials are good, but they belong before and after research. Before, so we can say, gee, this seems to be working. Can we test it and see if there's an effect over and above placebo? And testimonials are good after a product has been tested to see that it works out in the clinical market. So we do want the clinical cases, but we do want to make sure that what we're giving our pets is working.
Well, thank you very much for the great work that you and CanCog are doing. Do appreciate it. Hopefully it'll help me as I continue to age mentally as well as physically. We've been talking today with Dr. Gary Landsberg, board-certified veterinary behaviorist working with CanCog Company in Canada. Thank you very much, Dr. Landsberg. Do appreciate it. I do appreciate you also listening in today, trying to find ways that you can be the best that you possibly can be. If you have any questions about your pet's health, please drop us a line and I'll see if I can address it in upcoming segments. So thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.